Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point.
Good morning, everyone. It's and thank you for listening to AAA Murray Country. I'm Dr. Lee Shepherd, and I'm joined today with Paula Delaney.
Hi, everyone. How are you going, Dr. Lee?
Hey, good. Thank you. For everybody out there who is first time listening into the show, I'm a Dharawal, Mullaridgee, Jabiko, Yurukandji woman from far north Queensland and an anthropologist. And Paula is from
Quandamooka country.
Yay!
Big shout out to all of the mob on Mandura Bar.
Yep.
That's where my people come from. I'm a Noongi woman from Mandura Bar, North Stradbroke Island. Shout out to all my mob. I'll be over there tomorrow because they're having their Goombi NAIDOC family fun day on the Saturday there at Dunwich Primary School. So anybody on the island or going over to the island this weekend, please come on by and join the celebrations. It'll be from about 10 a.m. till 2.
Cool. All right. Before we start, I'd first like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land upon which we're broadcasting, the Turrbal and Yagara peoples. And we pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging. Today we're going to speak with Malik Lyons from the Narajara Lizards Football Club. He's the coach. Unfortunately, I was informed this morning that they have sorry business today, so Paula has gracefully stepped in to co-host with me.
Oh, that's okay. I was just floating around. I was just floating around the building, so, you know, might as well do something, put me to work.
Yeah. So what we're talking about today is an issue that's come up out at Naranja, which is on we're a Wadjuri country.
Wadjuri. Yeah. It's too early in the morning, I know.
Oh, I was trying to say it yesterday. I was like, couldn't get it for some reason. My brain was just not working.
Menopause. It's menopause. It's menopause, Dr. Lee.
Don't. Anyway, listen, I know I'm older than you, but anyway.
Look, we're at that age where we're almost elders in training.
Yeah,
almost. Yeah. It.
Yeah, no. So this is an issue that's, you know, that's, I think, about 2 weeks ago. Where the Naranja Lizards football team was disqualified from the Proton Community Cup.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And the issues around it is pretty interesting. Like, apparently it was following an alleged error, admin error, from the New South Wales Rugby League, which saw an ineligible player take the field in their semi-final win over the Rankin Springs. This player was mistakenly cleared by the NSWRL to appear in the finals match despite only playing one regular season game. Now, apparently out there you have to play in two games to be eligible to be playing in the finals. So it was a admin oversight error.
And honestly, what a ridiculous rule. But then that's me. I think that's a ridiculous rule. But, like, to be disqualified. And didn't they make it to the semi-finals?
No, they would have made it to the finals, which is playing this weekend.
Oh, that is heartbreaking.
It is for this mob, that's for sure.
Oh, no. Yep. That is so. Where's the compassion?
I don't know. And I was talking with a community member yesterday, Kiana, and she was basically just giving an outline of what happened, where the drama started. So, you know, apparently the Naranja Lizards had already had points deducted following a separate unregistered player drama the week before. So that's just getting points taken off. So they were trying to actively, you know, avoid a repeat in the finals.
Yeah, of course.
So what they did, the treasurer, the Narrinja Lizards treasurer, Sean Lyons, emailed New South Wales Rugby League reps requesting a list of eligible players for the finals. And this player was on the list. So, yeah, it was an admin oversight.
Right.
But, you know, basically they were disqualified from playing in the finals, which they have won in 2022 and 2023. So, and this year, you know, it was supposed to be because the coach of the Narrinja Lizards, his mum, Shante Lyons, recently just passed away.
Oh, no.
And they wanted to play, you know, the game to honour her.
Yeah.
Because she was, like, from what I heard from Kiana, she was a very, like, a powerhouse in the community. She was always standing up for mob's rights and stuff like that, taking in young people, that type of thing. So it was, you know, I think, and that makes it even more heartbreaking, I think, Kate.
Well, it is because when you know, I know from back home, you know, whenever somebody important from our mob has passed, there's always been some sort of sporting event in their honour. Mm. And I know that even in the, you know, professionals, when someone passes away that's close to the team or someone on the team, they come onto the, you know, field with their black armbands and in a sign of respect.
Yeah.
And it just seems like such a shame that this family has gone through such a tragic loss and they've lost their mum. They're going on to, you know, play in the finals and then all of a sudden someone stepped in and went, you've got an ineligible player.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's been an oversight somewhere in the paperwork. Mm. I'm wondering where the humanity is.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's the compassion for, you know, the coach and the team?
Yeah.
And anybody who has ever played team sport would know that you are a family because you spend so much time training and, you know, you're bonding. I think, too, depending on the game you play, it's almost like trauma bonding, you know.
Yeah.
And when you consider, you know, people who play in NFL.
Yeah.
Or NRL.
NRL.
Wrong country. Oh, my gosh. It's menopause.
This is in bottom of New South Wales inland.
Might as well be. No, stop it. We've come to terms with the fact that we won the State of Origin, Paula. Let it go. Okay.
Fine.
We finally won. But, you know, it's that thing of, like, when you bond together and you're playing sport and someone gets hurt on the field, you know, it's like you trauma bond over that. Yeah. You show up at the hospital afterwards watching them get their plaster cast on or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's that one place you can go in your day or in your week where you know that you have a structure. So whatever's going on in your life, when you join these teams, you know, and you show up for training, it's that hour and a half or whatever time you spend training with your team that you're, like, leaving behind the stress and the worries of the world and just basically focusing on the game. And it's, you know, I think sport especially and art are two of the most important things for our peoples because it gives us an opportunity to actually express or release pent-up emotion and trauma. And to have this happen, especially right on the eve of a grand final.
Yes, exactly.
Like, I'm really... That saddens me.
Yeah.
That there couldn't have been something that had been worked out for this team.
Exactly, yeah. So, according to, you know, what I've heard, that an appeal... It first went to, you know, they had to... They formed a... You know, had to form a voting panel because it's a Proton Community Cup.
Right.
So Proton is, I think, a chicken farm.
Okay, so, like, are they the sponsor?
They're the ones who run it.
Right, they run the actual...
The Proton Community Cup.
Right.
So there's seven teams.
Okay.
In that area. It's in the Riverina area, I think. So okay. You've got Ballarin Rams, the Ivanhoe Roosters, Rankin Springs Dragons, Naranja Lizards, Hilston Bluebirds, Gilgowrie Rabbitohs and Deniliquin Blue Heelers. So basically when this erupted, the NSWRL basically said to Proton, look, can you just, you know, can you form a panel from each team to vote on this? Unfortunately, when the committee came together, they only had six rather than seven. And then, you know, Proton decided to hand it over to, I think, the NSWRL.
Right.
Naranjara didn't like the decision because it was six or seven. You had to have the whole lot, I'm assuming, to make an informed vote.
Yeah.
So they sent it on to the NSR, you know, Naranja Lizards didn't like that decision, so appealed to the NSWRL. now, basically, outcome was supposed to have been granted last Friday.
Right.
But they did not hear anything. So basically they're out of the finals because no decision has been forthcoming. And also I was informed that purportedly the NSWRL and Proton just cut off all communication with Naranja Lizards.
Because so they couldn't come to a decision.
They just wasn't, there was no communication with them. So they're sitting in the dark at the moment, have no clue what's going on. I mean, yeah, the game's tomorrow.
Oh.
They're not going to be able to play it. So, yeah.
Does that mean they forfeit?
They don't forfeit because they were disqualified.
Right. So does that mean there will be a game tomorrow?
Like there is. They've put the Rankin, I think it's Rankin, and another team are now playing. So the ones that were actually Naranja were going to play are still playing, and then they've brought the other team behind them up.
That was third on the ladder, I guess.
Yeah, I'm assuming,
Oh, that's, you know, that's kind of heartbreaking because, like, anybody who plays, like, sport and, you know, you're playing in, like, a cup. You know the amount of work and effort that you put in as a team. And it's hard to take away from the team that came third on the ladder because they earned that spot. And rightly or wrongly, the Lizards were axed. And it's sort of, it'll be a hollow victory if, you know, whoever wins. Because of all of this, there hadn't been an outcome. They were supposed to be informed last Friday of said outcome. No communication. And the fact that they're also dealing with sorry business on top of that. And the reason why they actually were playing this season was because of sorry business. It breaks my heart.
Yeah, the interesting thing is as well is even though that they were going to appeal again. When I was talking to the community rep yesterday, while I was talking to her, she was informed that they'd been told, advised not to go through with the appeal. She did not know why or who told her. Well, she told me who told her, but she didn't know why. The reasons, and that's why, you know, it would have been great if, you know, Malik or Corey, the president of the Lizards, was here. But as we've stated, it's sorry business day today, and we, you know, and our hearts go out to the community.
Absolutely. Especially with everything that's been going on, and to know that they also are dealing with sorry business this week as well. Just makes this whole story even more tragic and even more unfair. And it, even though it was an in, like, it doesn't appear to be any one person, but like, you know, there was an something that happened in the process, but there is nothing in the process that they have in place to remedy this situation in a timely fashion. And that's so sad.
Yeah, it is.
That's really sad to me because all of those people on that team that have worked so hard to get their team to the finals are now, you know.
Because when you understand the town, I mean, basically it's, you know, the team is basically comprised of majority, you know, mob from Narrinja.
Yeah.
All, you know, age between the ages of 18 and 32 years. So, and you know, the team itself, you know, they sort of, they live for this.
Yeah.
For football, it brings them together, you know, it gets the kids in to play, you know, and work as a team and stuff like that. So, you know, having to go through sorry business with, the, you know, Auntie Lyons and,
yeah,
you know, and then another one today, you know, it does really break your heart to think, you know, they can't play for her.
Yeah.
As planned.
It's the whole situation really is heartbreaking.
Mm.
And the more we sort of pick through it, the worse the heartbreak seems to get.
Mm.
And it's ironic that nobody got back to them. And, they, you know, to say, like, it would have even, you know, where was the communication to say, hey, we can't even make a decision here yet?
Mm. Yeah.
There was no conversation by the sounds of that at all.
No. From my understanding is that there is no conversation. Communication was cut off. So they're all sitting in the dark, have no clue. Finals day is tomorrow. You know, what can you do? You know, except, you know.
And that'd be gut-wrenching too. Like tomorrow's probably going to be a really hard day for the Lizards and my heart goes out to that team. But also to the other two teams that will be playing on that tomorrow. My heart goes out to their teams as well because through no fault of their own, this has become a situation. And it really is a situation that's born out of just a simple common error.
Yeah.
And, you know, people make mistakes all the time within their confines of their jobs and stuff. But when you're putting together a
community-run
league.
Yeah, it's a community cup.
Exactly. So everyone who works in the office spaces of these community sporting fields, they're just ordinary mums and dads or nanas and pops or aunties and uncles. Or, you know, and they don't get paid for these positions either, do they? So there has to be something that helps support the ones that support these teams, that fill out all of these forms, that follow these processes so their community members can play.
Yeah, exactly.
Changed.
Basically, it's sort of like I checked the...
We've got our producer just looking at us through the window and she's saying change.org.
Yes, I know. I was just looking it up. Thank you, Tab.
Thanks, Tab. We're in charge here and
I was going to do it at the end.
Oh, yeah. See, because me and Dr. Lee, we're kind of newbies and our producer, Tabitha, keeps us on track.
She does.
She really does. It's like herding cats with the talent here at AAA Murray Country.
We go any which way we want.
No. That's it. And we're only new on the panelling thing, so anything's possible. If a music track starts playing halfway through a conversation, we're just going to apologise now to you. But is this a community announcement, change.org?
No, because they've basically they've got it's change.org Australia, and it is a petition.
Oh, for the Lizards?
Yeah, to sign for it. So basically it's at https://www.change.org/p/justice-4-the-Narrandera, that's narrandera-lizards-let-them-play. This will be put up after the show on our website underneath this story, yes. So if you want to go on there and sign the petition. The community is signing it, and then we're asking for people out in the community in Australia just to get on board and sign this petition as well.
Which we'll be doing straight after the show today.
Yes.
Like we were telling, like you just said to our listeners, they're going to be, once this show is uploaded onto our website at AAA.org.au, there'll be a link to that petition at change.org. Mm. So if anybody out there wants to get on board and help support the Narrandah Lizards, and
with their petition,
please do. And also too, I think something is to be said about a community coming together in a time of grief, and also too in a time of turbulence with this situation. And if we can get behind the Lizards in this respect, then hopefully there'll be some sort of a change that happens systematically for all of our community sporting groups to follow a template so this doesn't happen again. There needs to be a tightening maybe of the system. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's community. And, you know, anyone who does community gigs knows you do it for the love of your community.
Exactly. And when you look at Narrandah itself, like it's a, you know, it's a small country town.
Yeah.
It's like under 6,000 people live in that town. And of that, you know, there's around about 719 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples found in the census. So their median age is around about 22. So, you know.
Right on the demographic for that football team.
So, you know, it's a very tiny town. They're very proud of their team, you know. And they've, like I said, they've won two premierships.
Yeah.
In a row, 2022-23. The Narrandah Lizards itself, I mean, when I look at the history, it was actually formed in 1921.
1921?
Yeah, but I didn't have enough time to check the composition of the team, but the actual football club itself. But then they disbanded in 2005 and then briefly amalgamated with the neighbouring club, the Yanko Waroon, to form Bidgee Hurricanes, and that was 2012 to 2014.
Right.
But then they formed independently again in 2018.
So they're a relatively new team.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, they've the club itself, according to Wikipedia, when they joined the reformed Group 17 club, they had three premierships. The Group 20 club, they had three premierships from their time in that Group 20. That was 1986, 1999.
Right, that before the new iteration of the club.
Yeah, 1991. And then two from the Group 17, that was 22, 23. So, you know, yeah, so they've been doing really well. And basically they were looking forward to tomorrow's game.
And by the sounds of it, they would have had they would have had a decent crack at the title. You know what I mean?
No. Yeah. They came out of, apparently, if I remember correctly, they came out of nowhere. But, and were really in, you know, obviously in the top two.
Yeah.
To go ahead. So, yeah, it's just a, it's an unfortunate situation.
It is an unfortunate situation. And it's kind of sad to see that this has happened. But I'm hoping that by talking about this, that something will shift and change within the way these community organisations, you know, go through their processes. And I think it's just a case of maybe we just need more help in our communities to help set these things up to run more efficiently and smoothly. Because we all know, especially in Queensland, we have a lot of feeder clubs that go to the major two sporting teams, you know, the Broncos and now we've got the Dolphins, but also, you know, up, where's it, Townsville? What are they called? What's the Townsville team called?
Oh, God.
Cowboys. Oh, you'd think that would be easy to remember because, you know, Broncos have the horse and then you need a cowboy to ride it. So, of course, North Queensland. Sorry to all the North Queensland supporters out there. It's menopause. Brain fog is a real thing. But, yeah, I don't even know what I was talking about, what my point was then.
You were talking about feeder clubs.
Feeder clubs, yeah. Like, there's a lot of feeder clubs that go into these, you know, community clubs and into the mainstream clubs. So, you know, like, there's got to be some sort of a way that makes it a little bit more cohesive and also a lot more transparent and the communication situation set up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because everything that's happened in regards to this situation could have easily been prevented at any time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Through the process.
Yeah, exactly.
And
I think because basically, yeah, because even if they're a community cup, they're still ruled by the rugby league rules.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Like that. So they do have something called, it's my sideline, which is where you put up your teams and, you know, your cards and stuff like that before a game.
Okay.
And that's the team, it's sent to NSWRL for approval. So, yeah. So obviously there was a, you know, there was an admin error.
Yeah.
Along the way somewhere, you know. Do not know who's at fault, but, you know, it's just unfortunate that, yeah, even with community cups, they still fall under the, you know, rugby league
banner.
Policies. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I'm like, when you've got people that volunteer their time to help these processes, you know, I'm reluctant to blame any one person.
No,
I think
no.
It's a perfect storm of just a few little things that's happened.
Yeah.
You know, because the people who volunteer in community to take on these roles, they're the unsung heroes of the sporting groups right across this country. The parents that get up, you know, early to take their kids to practice.
Yeah, exactly.
The single mothers that, you know, want to play on the weekends and they've got to find, you know, someone to watch the kids while they go and play.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, their teams are all run by community people in their communities and it's all for the love of their game.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and from my understanding of talking with a community rep, it's actually a very tight-knit community.
Yeah.
Yeah, mob are very connected together in that community. So, you know, and yeah, rugby league does bring them together.
Absolutely. I know where I'm from, Stratty Sharks. Whenever they would win a tournament back home, it's a big deal because it brings our community together. It gives us something to celebrate, especially when you're going through things. Like there have been times when there's been sorry business.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the local sporting team from your community gets up and wins, you know, either the Grand Cup or whatever it is. And, you know, everybody in the community has won.
Yeah.
You don't just win or lose just for your team. You do it for your entire community. And that's, I think that's the beauty of sport.
Yeah, exactly.
And especially in this country, we take our community football and netball and all of those community sports really seriously.
Yeah, there's so many, like, even doing the show, you know, I'm talking to people who are rock climbers. People who are at elite levels, we're talking, you know, rock climbers, softballers, you know, stuff like that. I want to talk to professional surfers as well, you know, because they're out there. These are sort of sports that you don't really hear about.
No, you don't. What's really interesting too is I look at our traditional dance troops. They're sportsmen and women.
Exactly.
You know, that have to, you know, maintain a certain level of fitness to be able to sing and do the traditional dances.
Yeah.
That's a sport in itself. And that's what I'm sort of, I've been listening to your show. I caught the one with the rock climbers. Fascinating.
R-E-L. Yeah. Oh, like, seriously, I had to Google a lot of stuff because I had no clue, except for, you know, going there and, you know, taking my kids to rock climbing, stuff like that.
Oh,
that was it. Like, the things that she was doing is just crazy.
Actually, I'm sort of, because I know at my age, I'm 52, turning 53 in next month, and I know that, you know, the older you get, the more you don't want to move. And I know that I've never been one to want to play sport regularly.
Yeah.
I'm not, I just, you know, I can play sport. When I was younger, I could play sport and everything.
Yeah, primary school, hey.
Yeah, but I was like, my focus was not that and it wasn't something that I wanted to always do. But
yeah, because when I was at, I think, primary school?
Yeah.
So focused on sport. That was my major thing when I was at primary.
Yeah.
But the minute I hit high school, too much homework. I couldn't do it anymore. I gave it up when I went to high school.
I was there for the social scene. I'm not even going to lie about that. I went all the way to year 12 because, you know, I think my parents looked at me and went, you're not ready for the real world. You just better keep studying. And, you know, like, I would play sport at school and stuff because I was good at it, yeah, you know. Yeah. It's not a brag. It's just I was.
It was just fun.
It was, you know, fun.
It was great to get out of the classroom too.
Yeah.
You know, if you're in, like, say, like when I was at primary, I'd do vigoro, softball. Sometimes I'd do netball, and I actually like netball, but that wasn't my game.
Yeah.
Cricket, I'd play that. Be great. Because if you're in the A team, you get to take Friday afternoon off out of classes and go play.
Ah,
I loved it.
You that loved
was,
it.
Yes, that was my thing.
My problem was I would get on these teams, right?
Yeah.
We'd go play these tournaments, but every time we got back to school, it was too late.
Yeah.
So I was missing, you know, like the whole thing that would happen around the bike racks after school with all the gossip. My problem was I was a social butterfly. I wanted to know all the gossip, and I was usually one of the biggest yarn carters in high school. I'm not even going to pretend I wasn't. That was my sport.
Yeah.
Was carting yarns.
Yeah.
I mean, stories.
That's basically it. It's sort of like, and you know, and this in such a small community where it brings everybody together and everybody knows each other too.
Exactly. And that's what I love about, like, especially community sporting groups because you can be any age.
Yeah.
And that's what I was sort of alluding to before. Yes, I'm 52. Mm. Yes, I don't really play sport, haven't actively for decades. But I do love the whole idea of actually maybe joining some sort of a sporting team.
Yeah.
You know, use it before you lose it kind of thing. But it's more for the community factor, the camaraderie, the friendships that you make.
Yeah.
It's such a healthy way to spend your time, I think.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I've noticed, like, just briefly looking on Facebook.
Yeah.
I've got my, you know, cousins' children who are playing, you know, some are on scholarships for basketball.
Wow.
You know, they play basketball, or they do just play basketball up North Queensland way. Softball, you know, they're really involved in sports up north, and they're really doing well at it. So, you know, you can understand when you're coming from a small community like this just how much sport can bring the community together.
Absolutely. And also, too, it opens up doors.
Yeah.
You know, we all go on our little sort of venture out into the world to see what's around us, you know. Mm. Like we might move to a new town or a new city, a bigger community. Mm. And sport is one of those avenues, one of those doorways you can walk through to connect you to something different from where you've grown up, where you're from.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you obviously, like you said, there are feeder clubs.
Yeah.
And people are found out, you know, in small communities and brought into the elite level.
Actually, speaking of community things, I've just wanted to do a little quick shout out to Clancestry because that's still on down at QPAC. And I also wanted to announce Natalie Chapman. You've won 2 tickets to Bangarra tonight.
Oh,
nice. Congratulations. Your tickets will be waiting for you at stage door at the Playhouse. I shouldn't say stage door. I should say stage door at the Playhouse.
Right.
Oh, that's exactly what I just said. See, menopause. Oh. And, so if you just go to the Playhouse box office and state your name, Natalie, they'll have the tickets there for you waiting.
Nice.
And that. So congratulations, Natalie. But also, too, what's happening for the rest of Clancestry. Today we've got Clancestry for Kids. It's on at 10. Saturday. Saturday at Clancestry. It's a huge day. From, it starts off at 9 a.m. And you've got, like, mob words. And Clancestry for Kids, which will kick on after Mob Words, and that'll be held on the Melbourne Street Green down at QPAC. And they're going to be, they're both free, family friendly, and for the kids. From 10:30 to 1 p.m., we've got Living Sculptures, How the Birds Got Their Colours.
Nice.
And that'll be down at the Melbourne Street Green as well. And then after that, from 11, oh no. I see what's going on. So there's a couple of different events in different areas. Mm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so from 11:30 to 2 p.m., Stomp with Auntie Sharon, and that's also on the Melbourne Street Green, and that's another free event. And then we've got Bangara Dance Theatre, Alum at the Playhouse at 1:30. And then at 5, we've got the Sparks program, which is a First Nations play reading. So the Sparks program is a fantastic program that is looking for people who are new to writing and writing scripts and stories. And the play readings are the workshop, they're the evidence of the workshop that these writers would have done leading up to Clancestry. And that's on at the Cremond Theatre today, tomorrow at 5 p.m. And that's another free event, but you do have to register if you want to go because there's limited seating. And then again, Mob Music at 6:30 at the Melbourne Street Green. And then we've got Bangara on at the Playhouse at 7:30. So if you're looking for something to do with your kids, you know, tomorrow, get on down to QPAC. There's lots going on at the Melbourne Street Green site at QPAC. For the kids. And tonight we've got Alum with Bangara at 7:30 at the Playhouse. And at the Cremond Theatre, we've got The Art of Song coming up. So it's a popular music thing. Mm-hmm. And it keeps going. I think it's... we've also got a lot of free events on the Sunday. So we've got Mob Words, Clancestry for Kids, The Living Sculptures of How Birds Got Their Colour, Stomp with Aunty Sharon and Mob Music. Mm. And that's all day and they're all free events.
Yeah, that'd be great.
On the Melbourne Street Green Park out at QPAC.
Man, I wish I had my granddaughter this weekend. She did love it.
Oh, my goodness. Never mind the kids. I probably love it.
Yeah, that'd be fun too. Another community announcement. We're just announcing the upcoming charity match between the Meebon Bowlers. On Father's Day, 6th of August, is a charity match between Meebon Bowlers and Triple A at the Darra Bowls Club.
And it is going to be on.
Oh, I just got to remember how to throw that ball down there. Look, anyway.
I've stated pretty well before, I don't really do sport. But I will have a little, you know, throw down with the lawn bowls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's pretty much my speed. I'm built for comfort now, Dr. Lee.
Everyone is welcome to come down, 9:30. Remember, Darra Bowling Club in Brisbane. We'll put the address up. Or have we already got the address up? I'm unsure.
Yeah, it is, yeah, I think, believe.
We've got it up there. So, you know, just get on our page and have a look. And getting back to Nurranjara Lizards, look, your mom still sending our condolences out.
Absolutely.
We hope that there is some outcome soon. And hope to hear from you in the future about, you know, any outcome that might have come from your...
Absolutely. We want to know how this appeal goes, if it goes ahead. Mm. But also, too, hopefully by highlighting this, someone somewhere in the NRL world will actually reach out to these community groups and go, let's see if we can make this better.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, you know, continue to communicate.
Exactly.
Instead of cutting it off. You know, rather than leaving them in the dark, it's best to, you know, pick up the phone or email even.
Absolutely. In this day and age, you don't even have to talk to the person. You can send an email, you can send a text.
Exactly.
But something that would have been nice for them to have known where they stood, even if it's the fact that the panel could not come to a, resolution.
Yeah, it's weird. The outcome was not, you know...
forthcoming.
There was no outcome.
That's exactly... That's probably the most frustrating part about this is there was actually no outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they are unable to play tomorrow, which is such a sad thing.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so shout out to Mob Out at Naranja today. And, okay, I think that's the end of the show. Thank you, Paula, for stepping in and co-hosting with me. It was great to... have you in?
Oh, no worries. I was just floating around the building looking for something not to do. So, yeah, great. Thank you for giving me something to do.
No, that was really good. And you know, Anytime. If I need you, I'll call you.
Don't worry, I've got you on speed dial for my show too.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Don't. Okay. Okay, you mom, you can listen to us via our website at AAA.org.au or Community Radio App Plus app, sorry. We'd like to thank our sponsors, the Community Broadcasting Foundation and Brisbane Pride. You have been listening to AAA Murray Country. Bye.